Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our not-so-regular Monday stream. What are we, Evelyn? What are we? People can't see your adorable face expressions. You'll have to actually say it.
We're not front, we're back.
Yes, we are indeed back.
We're back.
We're front. I mean,
Hemlo.
We're back. Hemlo, we're back.
We're definitely not a front for anything.
No way. No, we're definitely, we're not
we're
a front.
Always too back to be a front. I mean, come on.
We're so back.
Yeah, closing the name.
We're so back, we could never be a front.
You can take that to heart. As always, we are never late, never black-pilled, and never again.
Shalom, viewers. Shalom. For those of you wondering about the weather report, it's been dry, but boy, it's been cold and windy. You've had sunshine, but at quite a cost.
I'd say it's been better than it was. Spring has not quite sprung, but it might be springing.
Well, the daffodils came out after a day of spring, then immediately got battered by like 40-mile-an-hour winds, as happens to the daffodils.
There's still snowdrops down the bottom of the road.
There are still snowdrops down the bottom of the road in the lee of a hill, yes. But the wind has been whipping around again. The whipping winds. It's the weather machine. It's been getting us.
But yes, thank you to the people who seem to regularly, and it seems to still be a growing number despite how irregular our regular streams are.
Yes.
A growing number of people that seem to want to turn up for these things and also tune in live. It's one of the things I see quite often, actually. Sometimes someone will be like, oh no, my shift doesn't line up. I'm going to miss it. It's like, oh. But yes, thank you all you people who turn up and watch this. We appreciate you all. And even more so, we appreciate the folk who are essentially willing to donate so that we have more reasons to carry on doing this. You can do that directly via the Ko-fi, which should be linked at the top
of the description, and it's also in the chat, yes. But if you want, we are still fully monetized on YouTube somehow, so we just do this as a bit of our preamble while people filter in.
Yes.
To let people know how and when they can support us. Or how, you know.
This is how you
why,
can tell we don't actually have that much business acumen. We shill at the start when nobody's there and not at the end when everyone else is.
Yeah. We do it for your convenience, not ours, really.
Don't forget it.
But today we're talking about, well, the greatest lobby.
The chosen lobby.
The real lobby. The Israeli lobby. No.
Let's all go to the lobby and have ourselves some matzo balls.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a very big subject. So as a preamble, I just wanted to shill really as well. And it'll be in the description if you want to watch it afterwards. The stream by Radlib, which is his stream on the specialist relationship.
The specialist of all relationships.
The specialist.
I mean, it is the most pressing concern of our time.
Yes.
Can you people believe it? That sometimes people dislike Israel for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
We won't be going through a lot of the history. We won't be going through a lot of the more standard Israeli lobby stuff, as we've done with our previous containment streams, Henry Jackson Society stuff, Policy Exchange, all of the policy soup stuff we did with the UK. We've given you more of a snapshot
on
how these things interact with quote-unquote right-wing figures you may see regularly, say, on your Twitter timeline, posted onto Telegram, or on where your various groups are. We are a scattered bunch. And these people and the money behind them still makes its way into our midst.
But if for some reason some of this stuff is still somewhat new to you and you want a more general going over this, or possibly something from a more American perspective, please do go and check out Radlib's stuff, because he always presents very well.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, we of course love the nation of Israel. But because we love the nation of Israel, we're worried. We're worried because people seem to be making, Israel too much about them. And
Of course.
For our affirmations today, and we have a lot of affirmations. First of all, I'd like to play you a quick clip here, which is from Farage at the ARC 2025 conference, the after party of which we were actually invited to. We may or may not get into that at some point. But
I mean, I can tell you what, that was definitely an alliance for responsible citizenship.
Yes, it was.
This is important about who we are as a country and who the West is. We've kind of forgotten that what underpins everything is our Judeo-Christian culture. And that's where we need to start. That's where we need to start. And if we recognise that, and if we value that, then I think everything comes from that.
There is an unsettling stillness to Jordan Peterson in that clip. He looks like a man who, if he looked directly at the camera, would be initiating some sort of hit on Farage for putting a word wrong.
Yes.
He'd sort of nod and it just Farage's head would just be a pink mess.
I didn't have room for it here because I might go over the Suella Braverman thing in another one, but Suella Braverman's I Will Never Be English article for the Telegraph also talks about Britain's Judeo-Christian values.
Europe's Judeo-Christian civilization.
You will see this term, Judeo-Christian culture, Judeo-Christian values, Judeo-Christian history, specifically being hammered home by people like Farage and by all different corners of the punditry and right-wing spectrum. It's something we've noticed, but this is the front-end messaging. This is the contact. This is the marketing. It is all these people using this same phrase, Judeo-Christian value / culture / civilization. It was something that was noticed at the art conference, and we'll go over that in some of the articles here, to the point that it was remarked upon. This seemed to be the talking point that everyone was told to reinforce, which is either, you know, that the West is falling, we need to rebuild it, or to explicitly say that the West is Judeo-Christian value. I can't make it any clearer than Nigel Farage with his affirmations there. It was also reported on in the usual places. Here's Breitbart. Farage calls for revival of Judeo-Christian values and optimism to solve the birth rate problems. It seems whatever the problem is, there is a solution to it, which is further alignment with the chosen nation and the chosen people. You find a problem and there's a solution.
And it's everywhere. I mean, it's not just at the ERC conference. It's at the Tommy rallies.
Here's a Tommy Robinson protest. Tell you what, here's the flags waving and, you know, the Patriots in control.
Tommy on the Star of David. Yes.
But look, what's the flag directly in front of the stage?
Uh-oh.
I just love the zoom in. We didn't make this, by the way. This isn't like... I just love that. Just the zoom and the hold.
See, like...
That is the flag that is directly in front of the speakers as they talk.
I know we get accused of doing really mean things and being really evil people. I've only just realised now that if I was going to be really, really mean, I would overlap the audio of Carl speaking at that event over the footage of the flag. But we didn't do that because that would be too much.
Oh, God. Also, that audio is just incredibly awkward and he absolutely died on his feet during that.
Poor man. Dog, let's go back. Let's go back. Never surrender, was that I said in the fucking T-shirt?
Yes, never surrender.
Make England great again. Right, cool.
What you see versus what he sees. What you see.
Anyway, come on. But, so ARC is there for the Telegraph readers, for the people who all write in the Critic Mag and think they're really cool.
Yeah.
So there's one side of the whole spectrum covered, and then the other end being the Tommy angle. It's Judeo-Christian values for the man in the street. And there is no end to this. I mean, one of the big groups that funds ARC, which used to be the Legatum Institute, now under the title Prosperity Institute,
yes,
run by Philippa Stroud and all our mates, they seem to be on this as well. So much so that they're actually looking to engage people in a fellowship around restoring these values. And
thank you for the £5 there, Mick Jenkins. Oh, yes, we do have thoughts about the aspects of Christianity, the psyop, the aspects of Christianity being part of the chosen people psyop. Yes, this is partially what this is. Well, this is largely what this is about.
But yes, I think that there's a specific tweet in this thread here where they're advertising their fellowship. This is right during the time of ARC as well.
Yeah, this is the Prosperity Institute. It is a think tank that a few people have interacted. I'm not going to go out and start to talking about who's been collaborating with who again.
I mean, if you wrote for the Mylord and you ended up here, it would be a bit weird. That's all
I'm saying. It'd be really strange if you wrote for like a very supposedly hardcore distant outlet like the Mallard and you ended up at, say, the Prosperity Institute. But it's so far so normal. The Prosperity Institute is launching the Edged Fellowship. But you scroll down to here.
I think we should go to the one above this and then work our way down, because I think we've got to get the date right here.
This one?
In 878, Alfred the Great was stuck in the swampy marshes of Somerset. The Battle of Edgington took place when he mustered an army to defend his territory and people from the Vikings. When all seemed lost, it took great courage and perseverance. It was a turning point in our history. Soon after, Alfred established a legal code inspired by Judeo-Christian law. He created a network of fortified towns to promote security and commerce. He fostered a culture of literacy and learning. Because, of course, all the good things are Judeo-Christian. The Battle of Edgington enabled King Alfred to build national prosperity on a foundation of Judeo-Christian ideals. In times of trial and jeopardy, our leaders have looked to his example. It's not for nothing that Winston Churchill called him the greatest Briton.
Well, again, I'm not going to bring up the sources here, because if you know any cursory English history, you should know this is medieval POC level anachronistic politicking. But it's remarkable that the first handful of Jewish courtiers who were kept basically in isolation with the rest of the population came over with the Normans in 1066. It's, again, it's this anachronism where you get these mirror images of the medieval POC black Britons, dark Britons talking points here, but in terms of the Judeo-Christian character, and specifically the Judeo character of Anglo-Saxon England.
I mean, I'm sorry, but there was no white men in England. They were all Cheddar men that had Stars of David, weren't they?
Yeah. If people, unless you are historically illiterate.
I think that's Mr. Miami Virtue taking the piss.
No. I'm leaning into it. It's fine. Unless you are historically illiterate, I know people are making fun of source people, but you know that this is ridiculous. It's also just insulting to English history.
And the slop doesn't just end here either. This is European wide slop.
Yes.
This is slop that you can't escape. I would imagine if we were actually to... God, this actually is something I've just completely come
Again,
up with.
A slop account. Stop socialist tyranny. 45,000 followers talking about the AFD and defending Judeo-Christian values.
I would actually be interested to look up, for example, in German language or French language Twitter.
Yes.
I presume there is no equivalent in German and French for Judeo-Christian. So, presumably, you could... like, sort of nix every element of containment out of your language's Twitter by blocking the phrase Judeo-Christian, because these would really be the only people willing to input that into your dialogue.
You have classic
because it's not a natural bit of your language.
Let me actually reopen that, because that was in response to... who was that response to? There we go. Dr. Malouf, who I believe is a de-radicalization figure on Twitter, talking about Islamist men in Germany. If Germans, Christians and Jews will have to convert or leave. And it's another part of the Judeo-Christian slop maneuver, in that you are presented a sea of these voices speaking in unison with this talking point, with other slop accounts responding to
but
them.
But Elon retweets those accounts, so it must be cool.
Then this is a response to, of course, inevitable West.
Mm.
Liberal hypocrisy or double standards.
Them scum.
Cheating.
Formerly PC is a disease. Hashtag I stand with Israel. Law-abiding American respects and is... Oh, you got to let me get the end of that. Is grateful for our LEOs and military Dems are sick. Hashtag MAGA. Hashtag liberals are insane. Hashtag 2A1... Fucking hell.
Welcome to the trough.
That's obviously a real person. I would never question that individual's authenticity.
Slop. For those of you who are wondering, I believe, yes, that is basically a RuneScape asset. Here we go again. Britons were... This is bait.
Yeah.
We all know this is bait. But these are the type of headlines, the exact people who share that Prosperity Institute formula, the Gartam Institute piece about Anglo-Saxon Judeo values, circle jerk around.
Leo Kers,
yes,
supposedly an independent comedian.
Yes.
However, he produces YouTube and content and stuff for GB News, Legatum Network again, and Paul Marshall.
Yes.
And frequently talks, I think on multiple occasions, about the terror that was October 7th and how Jews are going to put woke away. I mean, I know we did that as like a serious thing.
That's why
he
I used
actually
him for this,
went
yes.
out there and went onto YouTube and said, the brave Jews are putting woke away because we Europeans won't do it. Leo Kersh, another man who's probably got an impeccable opinion that I could always trust.
With this comes the Judeo-Christian values dialectic. It's not just the repeated talking point, it's all the different opinions other people have on this talking point. This is from Premier Christianity, and it says, the IRC conference conflates religion and politics, and that's a dangerous game. Judeo-Christian values are good, but they are not an umbrella term to be used to support your own politics, says Pat Finlow. The gospel stands alone and crosses all political boundaries. So the dialectic here and the response here from quote-unquote moderate Christians or non-political Christians is that we shouldn't politicize religion.
Mm.
This is one of the talking point soups. Instead of going, what the hell do these Judeo values have to do with Britain?
We're questioning whether or not those Judeo-Christian values can be politicized themselves.
Yes.
Not that their existence is political, because that's already agreed
the
upon.
The framing, it's not that they exist and they are good, is the framing here.
Yes.
They exist, they are good, but. And here we have, you know, Politico, let's be a bit more honest about what a European identity looks like. Emphasizing Europe's Judeo-Christian heritage, only looking to antiquity, betrays the European project, excluding the various peoples and entities that shaped the continent. So here we have, this is by
Siam Saeed.
So this is, the perspective here is the internationalist perspective. It's that, yes, Europe was built on Judeo-Christian values.
But again, now it's brown and black.
Yes, but now because we have the post-1960s, those Judeo-Christian values were replaced with secular values. But internationalist values and values that also respect Muslims, basically.
But as our good friends Connor and Ayan Hirsi Ali told us a few weeks ago,
yes,
Europe is here to shelter our friendly tribal neighbours. So we end up in a position where European identity is bound to Jewish identity.
Yes.
And this means that we are in a constant sort of ethnic war of spite, because we might have betrayed these people, but we're also their greatest ally, and we give them all the help in the world, but that's never enough. So it reduces the Christian past of Europe into a modern political falsehood via the obviously incongruous bundling of ethnic groups who spent the irrespective golden ages of most of European nations either having never been present or having been literally expelled. Medieval POC level nonsense once again, as you call it.
Well, these two articles, really, it gives you a choice. It says that either...
Do you agree with the diaspora?
Yes.
Or do you like nationalism?
Well, this is...
Are you a smelly leftist, or are you a cool-based right-winger?
Well, this is a nominally Zionist framing, equivocating about whether we should politicize religion. This is an internationalist diaspora framing, which says that, in fact, Europe used to be Judeo-Christian, but now it is brown and welcoming. The diaspora lobby says everyone in the past was black. So specifically, European identity does not matter or exist anymore. Zionist lobby says everyone in the past was also Jewish. So vague Western values do define our identity, but they put the Judeo part firmly first, and literally as well. Literally first.
So the West is either about Jewish values or it's about nothing. That is the allowed discussion. Anti-woke in a post-woke world. We are allies to the chosen people, or there is no we.
Yes.
This sort of nationalism for everyone is a wash on the right nowadays, even in ethnat spaces. And this whole idea that if we give them theirs, they promise to do us ours in return. Fat chance of that happening.
Well,
and I think it's fundamentally a flaw in the doctrine of so much of what is supposed to be right-wing in this day and age. Is this post-World War II... egalitarian and universalist idea of nationalism, where every peoples is an independent peoples and we all have a nation state. Well, that sounds all very nice and everything, but that's not how it works. And you've sort of come up with this kind of nationalist John Lennon imagine kind of idea, instead of actually being about an imperium and the struggle for your people,
which
is over and above the ideology of nationalism.
Thank you for the $2 there, academic... Aramaic discourse. I prefer the Judeo-Sikh values, thank you very much.
Let me tell you about my Judeo-Aryan values.
Yeah, let me tell you about my Judeo-Muslim values, yes.
But, so, what happens from all this? We are put in a position where, as far as the vast majority of people are concerned, our destiny, not just in the global front, but even particularly in Europe, is fundamentally intertwined with this other ethnic group of people, half of which doesn't want to be here, and half of which wants to send the other half to somewhere that they don't want to be in. It's a problem we never solve, is it?
No, but a lot of people see this and they see emergent phenomena. They see people jumping on a bandwagon and raising talking points and just trying to look cool in some cases. But we're going to take you through some nuts and bolts here. Why is this messaging happening and where does it come from? And we can answer those questions for you quite readily. And to do so, we will move to an outfit called Phylos and J.D. Vance, which is quite literally, Phylos is literally the Judeo-Christian lobby. Phylos as in Philo-Semitism. These are where the talking points come from and it is a further Americanization of British politics. But we must first start in October 7th, 2024.
What happened then?
Well, J.D. Vance was... he called October 7th an attack on America, slams disgraceful Harris for failing to bring hostages home in fiery remembrance speech. J.D. Vance, yes. Do you want to read this quickly?
Washington, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican for Ohio, railed Monday against the Harris-Biden administration's response on the October 7th attack on Israel 1 year ago, saying the deadly Hamas operation was an attack on America. October 7th was not just an attack on Israel, and it was not just an attack on Jews. It was an attack on Americans, and every single American of common sense and principle must reject it. The Republican vice presidential candidate told a Standing with Israel rally on the National Mall. And there he is with his little sign that you're talking about there, the Phylos Project.
Yes.
And we have covered October 7th on multiple occasions now, and for good reason, because it's one of the most egregious instances of media narrative collation across think tanks, media organizations, policy people, the security state, financial interests. All of them have all moved onto that as a serious mark of time, really. I mean, to them, that is where the end had woke. That's where Leo Kirst told me that Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, and this was such an egregious crime that leftism in Britain was no longer acceptable because the Jews put it away.
Here he is, remembering October 7th, standing with Israel, Phylos Project.
It's a shame my knees are giving up, because one day, and I know this is sad to hear, I might not be able to stand up for Israel anymore. I might just have to sit down.
You might have to sit down for Israel, yes. Phylos Executive Director Luke Moon said he had secured a permit to rally on the National Mall Monday so the Hamas guys don't get it. Vance, in his remarks, also laid out how an administration led by former President Donald Trump would protect American Jews, stop funding anti-Jewish radicals, and bring home American hostages from all over the world. So here we have Phylos Executive Luke Moon says, you know, being able to secure a permit for the National Mall to have the current and then, you know, very likely future vice president speak on his behalf.
I mean, the thing is as well, this is an agenda that they have really pushed on as well. The policies would include stripping accreditation and the federal support of colleges that don't protect pro-Israel students, Vance said. This is Bill Ackman, this is Christopher Ruppel, this is Paul Singer with your bloody Phylos that we'll get to. They've all been pushing that. We want to give Israel the right and ability to finish what Hamas started, he added.
Yes. Well, what is the Phylos Project? Here's the bit where it says, our mission. Our mission. The Phylos Project equips Christians to stand with Israel and the Jewish people, support persecuted Christians in the Middle East, and foster a revival of Western values rooted in the Hebraic origins of our faith. Here's a little... we'll go over the team in a little bit. I think I've got that open elsewhere, but questions we've been asked. What is positive Christian engagement? Positive Christian engagement is a learned, principled, practical, relational, and action-oriented activity that defends human life, human thought, and human diversity.
That sounds like submitting yourself to a different tribe of people. What kind of Christianity does Phylos espouse? That's what I want to know.
Well,
Phylos is a non-sectarian organization whose board, staff, and members belong to various Christian churches and hold to various schools of theological interpretation within the realm of Nicene Orthodoxy. We don't care what kind of Christian you are, as long as you like Jews.
What is your position on the gospel? Now, here is where it gets a little bit spicy for me, Theo. The gospel is God's power of salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. We must insist upon the right of all people to embrace, pursue, and discuss the gospel in every country, basing this right on the dictates of our faith and article human. So this doesn't say that they affirm that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and Lord and Savior. It talks around that the gospel must be discussed. And they're using like Romans 1:16, like the slipperiest. This is the slipperiest method that you can use to engage with Christians. What's the, like, look at this.
I want to know what kind of political views does Philos hold? I mean, it'd have to be... Oh, it's non-partisan, is it? Right. Well, that only begs the next question, doesn't it? We believe that the Jewish nation is an indigenous nation of the Near East with a right to live in its ancient homeland. No way. These guys believe this? Wow, you could have fooled me. We believe that the state of Israel is a legitimate expression of Jewish nationhood. What? Wait. If it's nationhood, why is it specifically Jewish nationhood? Surely the state of Israel is a legitimate expression of nationhood. Must have some unique characteristics to it. We also believe that Israel has the right to defend itself, as well as the obligation to protect its citizens, regardless of race, creed, or colour. That's good to see, because Jews of all races are important. Our support for Israel's legitimacy does not imply support for any particular party, ministry, legislative, or executive action or public statement issued by any government official. Israel is a state and should be held to the same standards as any other state. Boy, you bet.
This is them using this as the neutral position. Judeo-Christian values are simply the neutral position for the centre-right. They are neutral and normal and non-partisan. But this all looks quite boilerplate. But it is not. As we'll get into, the Philos Project is run by some relatively interesting people because it is really just a front... I'm not sure it even says this at the bottom here, but it is really a front for the Paul E. Singer Foundation. Now, Paul Singer is a very interesting character, and we'll get into some of their, one of the Philos staff in particular, or a couple of the staff a bit later, but this is where the money comes from. It's Paul Singer, he's the Elliott Management Corporation based in New York, and he's a hedge fund manager worth $23 billion. He is he's also the founder of one of a wider bridge, an Israeli LGBT rights group.
Yes, of course, Paul Singer was one of the biggest pushers in the Republican Party of gay marriage after his two Jewish sons got married. His son got married to possibly a fellow Jewish gentleman.
Oh, this definitely sounds like a man who holds traditional Christian, Judeo-Christian values.
Oh,
doesn't it? But what about... I'll quickly go to the Philos Project. It quickly leads to...
I mean,
here,
that's but... not the only one there. No, I mean, but... look at the name of some of these. Aish HaTorah, American Friends of NGO Monitor, American Friends of the Hebrew University, American Israel Education Foundation, American Israel Friendship League,
Council on Foreign Relations, Claremont Institute,
Birthright Israel, Bina Bithya Youth Organization, Claremont, Combined Jewish Philanthropies of Greater Boston... Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes, I heard you say that one, yeah.
Friends of the Israel Defense Force, Gordon and Jenny Singer Foundation. God, there's so many of these. The Israel Project, Israel Promise, Israel 2IC, Jewish Agency for Israel, Jewish Funders Network.
Manhattan Institute, as we'll get to later, Middle East Media Research Institute, which is... He is a big money donor. He's also a...
Oh, yes, and as someone's pointed out in the chat, Intelligence Squared as well, they used to do those Jordan Peterson debates years ago.
Yes, he also did. And as you can see from this, he's almost like a one-man USAID. The Paul E. Singer Foundation is like USAID for Zionism. we'll not get into all of this because holy crap, but what we will do is talk quickly. Well, we'll talk quickly about the Phylos project in terms of its power base. Because again, Polly Singer Foundation, it's staffed by Robert Nicholson, executive director, who is no longer listed on their website, by the way. Luke Moon, who seems to be the one who's listed most there. And we'll be talking about these two staff members in particular in a little bit. But it's very interesting that, of course, Paul C. Singer is just, it's just the money behind Phylos. Mm. And he's just, you know, this is who is putting J.D. Vance on these podiums. He has the power to do this. He has the power to book the National Mall and put J.D. Vance on a podium. And he is involved in all these different groups because all these different groups, as we'll get to, share funding from all the same sources.
Mm.
The Koch brothers being one of them, but Phylos is, I don't know. The thing is, we go over it a bit more, but it's really obvious that, yes, they are the Judeo-Christian lobby. They are the people who are prototyping this language, and they are one of the areas it comes from. But also they are part of a giant soup, a giant network that allows this to become normalized and seem organic when it is anything but. Right, where are you up to there?
I believe you want to start looking at some of the Manhattan Institute stuff. Sorry, you've got that character.
I've got this here. We are using actually quite a few leftist sources. A lot of people got upset with us in the past for using these, but they are simply one of the only places that collates this information in a more digestible format. And so when we go over some of this stuff, as usually we try and find articles that sum the points up, a lot of what you'll find on people like Paul Singer are leftist articles, which is very deliberate. There's very little discussion of him outside of a positive light in anything but what would be considered a leftist rag.
How a hedge fund manager and right-wing donor is financing an Israeli influence op masquerading as a journalism project.
Yes.
Paul Singer is a rapacious hedge fund manager and leading donor to the GOP and pro-Israel groups who retains a raft of corporate intelligence firms to slant the news in ways that favour his personal and political interests. In his spare time, he plots to topple governments and beggar citizens in the third world to increase profits at Elliott Investment Management, the investment firm he founded and controls. Charles Krauthammer, who's dead, worked for the Carter administration writing bland, dreary speeches for bland, dreary Vice President Walter Mondale before morphing into a right-wing pundit whose columns were as lifeless and dull as... I just want to point out, this Krauthammer guy, there is now a Krauthammer Fellowship, which is being mentioned here.
Yes.
Go and look at the people that have been through that. That's your homework, chat. Because I bet you'd be surprised how many of them have appeared in front of your favourite dissident YouTube channels.
What you get is when you combine Singer and Krauthammer. Viola, the Krauthammer Fellowship, which was 15 positions annually to aspiring writers, journalists, scholars, and policy analysts. But he's basically talking about how this is...
He also does the New York-based Tikva Fund as well.
Yep.
This year, is there any specific bit you want to grab out of
Cassie Dillon? I just wanted to mention that really a lot of what you get is just one, leftist sources, and two, a lot of his work is very sprawling. This is just one example of a project that...
I mean, to be fair, I'd love to actually read through this in detail because I'm sure there's great stuff in here and it will name names that probably even I don't expect to be in here. However, there's so much of this that we can't.
Yes.
Like this is the problem with this, is we are just looking at like a screenshot or a screen grab of this. If we're actually to pick apart this entire connection from Paul E. Singer's money through these institutions to figures like J.D. Vance, it would take weeks.
He's also talking about how money is laundered through the Tikva Fund. Mm. Isn't shy about promoting its role managing the Krauthammer Fellowship, and it talks about the fact that Singer's money is coming via this Tikva Fund. Yes.
For its part, the Singer Foundation make no mention at all of the Krauthammer Fellowship or the Tikva Fund on its own website.
Phylos doesn't mention Paul Singer on its website at all as well.
Which is incredibly stingy about providing details about any of its operations and activities. Not a single current or past grant recipient is identified. There's no information about how to apply, and indeed there's nothing on the website at all beyond a concise bio of Singer, which says the New York Times has called him one of the most revered hedge funds.
Well, this is also, as we talked about before, this is a process of managing manufacturing experts.
Talking heads, yeah.
This is the US side of what we talk about when we talk about all these people who appear on LBC and come from all these different think tanks and have all this strange money. The Krauthammer Foundation Fellowship might as well be Young Voices.
Yeah.
Or something like that. All of these outfits operate as ways of elevating people who will repeat the correct talking points. This is how these people get in front of your eyeballs.
Yes. I'm seeing nothing but Mr. Miami Virtue in the chat, sitting nail on head. Anyway, we shall carry on with the Philos project. I think you want to look at maybe one of the staff pages, or do you want to bring up the Manhattan Institute bit?
Well, I just want to bring up as well that the fact that Paul Singer is chairman of the Manhattan Institute.
So Christopher Ruffo's pornographer rehabilitation program for Jewish minor elites is also run by Paul Singer.
Yeah. So everything you see from the Manhattan Institute, from all these file laws, from these various, from the, all of what you saw on Paul Singer's Powerbase page there, comes from this one man and this one agenda.
Yeah, I'm loving some of the stuff in chat here as well. Singer was a huge Marco Rubio supporter. Of course, he supported Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance's Never Trump campaign in 2016 and 2017. Paul Singer, if you look at him in 2014, was part of the money that went into Fusion GPS.
Yes.
Now, if you know Fusion GPS, you should just, you just have a laugh with this because it's too much. Too much for me as well. But we'll carry on because we've got more to go on here.
Here's the other co-founder of the Philos Project, a guy called Robert Nicholson. He lists it on his Twitter page here, but he's no longer on their website. I'm not quite sure why. But here's another... This is the Militarist Monitor, another vaguely leftist, I think, kind of...
Anti-military, anti-imperial.
One of those left libertarian sites. But this is their little profile of the Philos Project from 2015, because it's been going for quite a long time. And they mention here about Paul Singer, you know, pro-Israel donors like Paul Singer to promote Christian engagement in the Middle East. The group's advocacy on behalf of Christian initiatives often dovetails with its promotion of hawkish US policies in the Middle East. The group appears to have been launched in late 2014. The earliest publication on its website dates to October 2014. What I will say is that Philos is hilarious, because Philos, part of what they do is these, I believe, people of color scholarships. Is it in here? I believe they put it was the soft or squishy middle. I don't know if I got rid of that source or not because it's a bit rambling, but one of the things that Philos does is quite literally get Black and Hispanic Christians on like faith origin tours, on origin of your faith tours in the nation of Israel.
Oh, in the way that all the college students go, and I mean, what, you don't go to Israel every other month?
Yes, I'm sure this, I thought it was listed on...
No, that's on, I think that's on one of Paul Singer's Wikipedia entries somewhere as his funding of that product, or that project, but I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, don't you want to see the beaches of Tel Aviv?
Here we go, especially it's the Middle East, chains of Middle East, Middle East, Middle East, Middle East, Middle East. But basically, yes, you have this here, and what it mentions, though, is this Nicholson guy, Robert Nicholson, there we go. So this website's so badly formatted because of fucking mobile. But Philos Executive Director Robert Nicholson has staunchly opposed the Obama administration's nuclear relationship with Iran. He wrote in 2015, blah, 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 blah. But Nicholson also writes for a number of rightist pro-Israel outlets like Mosaic, and the Times of Israel. In 2013, piece for Mosaic, he described his support for Israel, and I quote, "Rather than just another religious or national grouping, I see the Jews as a community appointed to play a special role in the cosmic order."
Me and you both, pal.
"So long as evangelicals and Jews share an interest in protecting Israel," look at his language here, "they should, despite their perfectly appropriate differences, do everything they can to build a strategic alliance based on mutual imperative of defending the world's only Jewish state against those who would seek to destroy it and those all too ready to lend a hand of acquiescence." So it's very clearly stated here that this is a organization founded by a man who sees the Jewish people as part of a higher cosmic order.
We can do this more from him. I'll do the other paragraph if you want here.
Yeah.
In December 2013, Times of Israel op-ed, Nicholson also linked what he referred to as today's widespread opposition to Israel to deep-seated dislike for the Jewish people and opposition to the Judeo-Christian moral order. He added, many secular humanists and members of other religions are resentful of the dominance that this moral order maintains and believe it to be the root cause of all the world's problems. For them, the state of Israel symbolizes the continuing stranglehold of Judeo-Christian values on humanity, and as such, they long for Israel and anything else connected to biblical religion to be extinguished from there. So these two are tied together again. Our destinies are intertwined.
This is back in 2013. We've seen more than a decade of narrative crafting, and October 7th was the launching point for this becoming mainstream into British politics. We see how American politics are taken over by this talking point of this small special interest group which has messianic beliefs about their ethno-religious in-group, and we see how this spreads all the way into British politics, and it becomes the normal lexicon of the quote-unquote mainstream right. This is how God's chosen lobby functions. It functions, once again, as we talked about with the USAID, it functions via hegemony. And it is very, very obvious when you start to see the connections and you see the early adopters. This is an early adoption of language that sounded probably completely insane during the Obama administration, but now is almost completely normal.
This is a basic right-wing talking point nowadays. I mean, you can't work your way out of this if you write for any fucking mainstream magazine, can you? Well, this is the byline. This is what you have to write.
Well, this is what he wrote for Mosaic. It's called Evangelicals in Israel, What American Jews Don't Want to Know But Need to.
That, like, line, like, Israel flag, that looks like something BAP would fucking tweet.
It does. It also looks like every Tommy protest ever.
Benjamin Netanyahu, line of Judea.
We'll probably go through this in detail at some point. The quotes that I read are from this. We don't have time to go through this whole thing today, mostly because it's packed with so many different jumping off points. I'd probably like to go. A lot of this stuff is just like revelatory.
I'll just point out at the side here, yes. It does point out that Nicholson is himself a former Marine and Tikva fellow.
Yes.
So, you know, it's
the same money. But the thing is, Philos is the same money as the Tikva fellow. So really, he's having his CV padded out.
And he's writing in Mosaic, an outlet which we've not just seen that Paul Singer also owns a large portion of.
Yes. So three parts of his
CV. The Paul Singer network.
Yeah, so three parts of his CV are just Paul Singer lending this guy legitimacy. This is how experts are manufactured. It is a many-headed hydra from a single pot of cash. It's what we've been describing for years, and it's such a perfect example of it. And yes, it does function the same basically everywhere. These are the mechanisms. This is how you spot it. This is how you map out a containment network, undeniably. All this. Anyway, we shall now move to Mr. Luke Moon, Executive Director at the Philos Project. Here is from religiousdispatches.com, and this is the link between, well, we're getting segue between the Philos Project itself and its partners over at the Heritage Foundation, because the Heritage Foundation doesn't admit this, but they have something called Project Esther, which is basically just an offshoot of Philos that is not properly talked about. But if you read, well, anything surrounding it, you'll find that it is exactly the same people.
Well, if anything, this appears to be the part of the Philos Project that has more domestic teeth. This is more the ADL,
yes,
controlling the narrative side of it in terms of America's domestic opinion.
The Heritage Foundation, for those who don't know, is huge. It's one of the most influential think tanks in America. It came up with Project 2025 that was so controversial, but it also came out with this Project Esther. It has a based arm, in quotes, and an ultra-Zionist arm and a liberal arm. It says all things to all people. But I will quickly go down.
I might just say, as a quick aside, while you're looking up what you're wanting there.
I'd read the first couple of paragraphs here, but...
Well, no, I was just going to say that. I think at some point we should cover just the whole thing on the Heritage Foundation.
Yes, we probably will.
Because the Power Base page for it is unbelievable. And for those that aren't aware, especially considering the fact the proximity between characters like Mr. Vance and Heritage has spent the last 50 years trying to create a Europe of Nations because its primary goal is making us weak in the face of America because it does not want a united Europe.
So we've got Paul Singer and the Heritage Foundation here linked together extremely heavily. And once you link those two together, basically a large chunk of the Republican donor and NGO network is one big blob.
Oh, on the anniversary of October 7th, when J.D. Vance did that speech?
That I believe that was the year before.
Oh, no, 2024, it's the anniversary. On the same day, they're both speaking about the same issue with no connection to one another. Yeah, sure. The Heritage Foundation released Project Esther, a national strategy to combat anti-Semitism. The 33-page document calls on the federal government to use counter-terrorism, immigration, surveillance, intelligence gathering, and other apparatuses to disrupt and degrade Palestinian rights organisations and a range of progressive funding infrastructure.
And
this
also
has already happened.
Well, yes.
And at least they've already tried to do
this. It's not just them, it's also us. Nobody talks about the fact this is also aimed at the anti-Israel right.
Yes. Project Esther is lengthy, rambling, and full of grandiose language, light on many specifics, as Forward reporter Arno Rosenfeld put it, which was perhaps because the writing process was not terribly iterative, one anonymous conservative critic told Jewish Insider. But we can assume its authors mean business. The Heritage Foundation also brought us Project 2025.
Yep.
Well, the America First Policy Institute, one of Task Force 12's organizations, described by Politico as a White House in waiting, is composed of former Trump advisors eager to staff the next administration.
Again, America First, Project 2025, we're getting into the weird edges of the Fuentes sphere previously here, which is a bizarre... We'll go into some of the bizarre hookups and interconnections of all of this later, but what I want to talk about first, what I want to get to here, actually, is the stuff about Luke Moon.
Following a time-honoured Israel advocacy tradition, Project Esther frames its McCarthyist crusade as an effort to ensure the safety of Jews. But as Jewish Insider reported, it seemingly lacks the participation of all but the most far-right fringes of the institutional American Jewish landscape. Instead, it appears to be led entirely by Christian nationalists at the helm of National Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism are Mario Bramnick and Luke Moon.
So, to quickly, what happens is Heritage Foundation formation of National Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism. That's what they're talking about here. So, the person who's on their task force is Luke Moon, who is one of the directors of Philos.
Yeah.
He just is. He's somebody mentioned repeatedly on their staff page. He's one of the faces of Philos. So they don't announce this hookup, but really Project Esther is just the Heritage Foundation with its own little carve-out for Philos within it. There's more from Mr. Luke Moon here.
Luke Moon is the CEO of the Philos Project, a Christian Zionist organization that has launched Christian birthright trips, outreach initiatives to Black and Latinx communities, and other projects to target what one 2023 profile called the mushy middle of American Christians who are under-engaged on Israel. Philos has received core funding from anti-Iran war hawks like Paul Singer and right-wing Hasbara outfits like the Adam Milstein Family Foundation and its former executive director, Robert Nicholson, whose recent op-ed in Providence, an Institute on Religion and Democracy publication, declared that hundreds of millions of Muslims worldwide are part of a rival civilization who wants to destroy our way of life.
Also, Providence funded by the exact same monetary soup as the rest of this.
Yes. Moon moves easily in NAR circles. I believe that's a Florida-based church that this other individual mentioned alongside Moon, Mr. Bramnick, is involved in. As a result of his efforts to craft a big tent Christian Zionist coalition. In April, he organised a rally to protest Columbia University's Gaza student encampment with popular NAR leader and worship singer Sean Fuchs. We're seeing this rise in this flood of anti-Semitism across the world. Yes, these are the end days, Fuchs proclaimed, excitedly in our live stream the night before the rally. Israel will serve as a redemptive sign, agreed Russell Johnson, another rally leader. Proof positive that as we've moved closer to the great day of the return of the Lord, we will see massive harvest, massive revival, massive souls turning to the Lord and the nation of Israel. For the NAR, a rise in anti-Semitism and mass conversion of Jews in Israel are sure signs that the end times draw near.
Yeah, right-wing anti-Semitism recommendations, but it just... Here we see that, again, contiguous machinery. everything we have just shown you is part of the same contiguous machinery. I won't get into it, but we've talked about it before. Obviously, all of this also receives Koch Brothers funding.
Yes.
It just does. Again, National Times for Anti-Semitism, Project Esther, National Strategy Combat Anti-Semitism.
And this is also very closely related to the financial soup that is Claremont.
Yes.
And the Blaze.
Well, yes.
And the large number of American media outlets.
God. The Heritage has a long history, like you said, stretching back to the 70s. Well, okay, here we go. Here's a little bit of, like, the soup here. Because you have Vance, who was the headline speaker for Philos, the Heritage Foundation that produced Project 2025, which Fuentes heavily promoted.
Do you want to get the next link up there?
I will go in a second. They're funding, the Heritage Foundation is known to come from the Koch brothers' money and its partners in the, and the Philos partners in the literal Philosemic propaganda operation, which is, just, you know, this is the big circle of slop. Wait,
can I repeat that?
You have Nick Fuentes saying... you know, Project 2025, you know, America First, the America First lobby, which the Heritage Foundation and parts of the Trump administration made hay with. But the other end of it is Israel.
Mm.
So you have this bizarre promotion of a Heritage Foundation document that obviously incredibly inculcated to create, you know, inculcated enough to create this Project Esther, coming from an anti-Semitic influencer like Nick Fuentes.
So they're creating their own anti-Semitism.
Yes.
It's almost as if the Israeli Jewish lobby is the finest self-licking ice cream cone around. They have this all tied up in a very neat bow, it seems.
I mean, Nick Fuentes isn't part of the direct Israeli lobby, but he certainly is engaging with stuff that comes out of it. It's genuine.
Hmm.
Which is odd. So this is why we would never promote something like that, because we know that it comes from, like, we'd never promote a policy exchange report, no matter how much we agreed with it.
Oh, no, if tomorrow they came out with a giant report from the Prosperity Institute about how we're going to deport every black in Britain, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
Well, here we go. This is, it talks about the hookup with Philos here and the fact that the outside of the normal kind of Jewish money magic stuff, so the archive stuff really doesn't want to work here, the Heritage Foundation basically had to just hook up with the exact same lobby money that's been knocking around for ages. God, this just doesn't work, does it? I hate paywalls. But they talk about October 7th and all that anyway. That's just another source to show that these things are inseparable. The other part of this is as well that just J.D. Vance is very fluid in his beliefs, it seems. As you said, he was funded by Paul Singer partially to be...
As part of Rubio's campaign.
Yes, part of Rubio's campaign to be a never-Trumper. And yet you have him back on this man's teat in the Trump cabinet promoting Israel.
And Paul Singer's still giving money to this.
Yes.
So has Paul Singer's opinion on these issues changed, or have J.D. Vance's and Trump's opinions on these issues changed?
We'll never know.
We'll just have to speculate.
Again, how Donald Trump seduced America's white working class. J.D. Vance back in 2016 and his never-Trumper vibe talking about Trump scamming the American public. Has his opinion changed, or has the money simply moved to back where reality is?
An acute insight into the reasons why these voters almost found a new messiah in a man regarded as an offensive clown by many, a man who ultimately cannot save them. I mean, it's not like he has some disagreements about Trump's policy. That's like a categorical, we are different tribes, we are different factions, we are represented by different people. So clearly, what we can indicate here is that from 2016 to 2025, Trump represents that faction of people now. I mean, that's got to be the alignment that's there.
Thank you for the £3 there, Dan. Are you going to do any more streams with Uzlu? Probably if, like, the issue is just time. Like, I'd like to stream more with people, but I don't have the time or energy, really. I just don't feel like it's, like, I would do, but, like, a lot of people stream quite late at night. Thank you for the £15 there, Distant Night. Affirmations confirmed. Thank you very, very much. Thank you to everyone who's donated throughout this. But the last thing we have to, or the last couple of things we have to bring out here, because it's a slightly longer stream today.
You might want to grab the Open Democracy link, because that leads into what
Yes, it
here.
Does.
Philos is linked by its staff, patronage, and funding networks to many parts of the US and international neocon policy sphere and the press that shares their work. But an interesting link specifically is with the Adam Smith Institute, whose private arm, known as Adam Smith International, which we covered in a stream the other week, which has brokered arms deals, attempted peace deals, and is supported directly and indirectly by the UK government. The same Koch brothers' money flows into it and into the Legatum Institute, now the Prosperity Institute, to talk about Anglo-Saxon English Judeo values.
Well, here's Paul Singer at the Adam Smith Society. He was a featured singer. Paul Singer, he's the chairman of, talk about the Manhattan Institute and all that, and he was speaking and has good relations with the Adam Smith Institute, but he also is part of the money soup they suckle from, along with all of this other money. And once again, the Open Democracy one, to bring it back into a bow here, it talks about the fact that, yeah, here we go.
Tufton, the Taxpayers Alliance, the IEA, all these people all receive the same money from the same soup. It's the Koch brothers, it's private funders like your Adelsons and your Paul Singers. So much of this comes, quite frankly, from the same place.
Well, it comes from the US, and when it doesn't come from the US, it comes from the UK government. There is an agreement between the US, and a lot of this really is just US government money by proxy, because these people are so embedded, and the UK, that the US, sometimes via USAID, as we saw, funds these think tanks, and then the UK makes up the shortfall. And that, again, if you see the Americanization of British politics, well, according to tax returns filed by the US authorities representing 11% of think tanks' total receipts, again, 11% of the think tanks' total UK receipts, 23% for the Adam Smith Institute. So the Adam Smith Institute is 23% funded from America. But you also see, again, the what is now the Prosperity Institute as well is listed here. And that's, again, it's USAID all over again. They say the same things because they receive the same money to say the same things.
But let's maybe...
That's why we've got all these, like, you've got former hardcore right-wing people, supposedly, who become policy wonks, now work for an outfit that talks about Anglo-Saxon Judeo values. This is why. It's the money, stupid.
I mean, it was something we were considering covering when we did the Adam Smith Institute/International crossover the other week, but I think we've got to show just how dense their operations are with one specific example.
Yes.
I would leave the other stuff in this for in reference to our stream from the other week.
Yes.
I specifically want to look at the Palestinian Negotiation Unit section.
I'll just quickly go to the...
Or unless you want to look at the ASI projects.
We'll just go to the UK government contracts.
Cool.
In 2004, House of Commons hearings revealed the following funding for international operations.
£430,000 to Tanzania for PR. Privatisation projects in Guyana, £1.7 million. Privatisation projects in Zimbabwe, £500,000. Technical assistance in India, £3.6 million. Assistance to Palestinian Negotiations Affairs Department, nearly £10 million. There's another £1 million to Ghana. There's money to Russia, money to Iraq, Asia Trade Consultancy, the DFID department, which has now all been defunct and replaced anyway. And this is only stuff from, like, 1990...
International lawyer with the first military division. Jesus Christ.
I mean, just... and this is only stuff from, like, 99 to, like, 2003.
Yes.
All the new stuff that they've done is under new forms of government international development funds where they don't have to be as transparent.
Well, again, there was questions in the House of Adam Smith Institute, £7.6 million in aid money, consultancy work. Baroness Amos as well, we talked about this last week, defended the giant as follows. The Department of International Development awarded three contracts worth £7.7 million in the financial year. Each was awarded following open international cooperation on the basis of public evaluation criteria. The whole point is the Adam Smith Institute and Adam Smith International are a think tank and a private company that have a Schrodinger's effect, and both of which are supported on both ends by figures like Baroness Amos and other, like, dyed-in-the-wool establishment members of the UK elite. And that you have this one hand washes the other hand situation where you have a supposedly free market Adam Smith Institute think tank that has a private arm that is just a contractor to the UK security state,
whose,
openly.
Whose culture war content yes. supports its geopolitical footing, of course.
And you have the government that awards contracts to its private company and then awards funding to its NGO.
Mm.
And that is how all of this is working. But which one would you go to, sir?
Well, we've got the Palestinian negotiating
yes. section. Here's where it comes in, because them being part of this policy soup and, you know, God's chosen lobby, here are how they act as part of God's chosen lobby, because this is what the Adam Smith International, the private arm of the Adam Smith Institute, got up to in Palestine.
Most official and semi-official Palestinian organizations depend on foreign funding, and the Key Negotiation Support Unit, which was set up in 1999 to give legal communications and policy advice to the Palestinian Negotiations Affairs Department, was funded indirectly by the British government via ASI from its inception. The unit was disbanded by Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in February 2011 after it emerged that three of its employees had leaked 1,600 secret documents to Al Jazeera.
Oh, by the way, these are the Palestinian leaks and all, you know, the collaborators that Israel talks about. These people get used and framed as Palestinian activists in the news.
Yep.
But go on.
A 2008 Stabilization Unit brochure gives an overview of ASI's work under the heading Building Capacity in the Palestinian Authority. ASI has been providing support to Palestinian Authority for over a decade, since 1999. We have assisted the PLO in preparing negotiation positions across a range of issues, from allocating and management of natural resources to complex refugees and border issues. The project has provided Palestinian negotiators with access to high-quality professional support, which has transformed the nature of the negotiating process with Israel. ASI is also implementing DFID, that's the British government's Public Administration Reform Programme, which aims to enable the Palestinian Authority to provide more efficient, transparent, and fiscally sustainable service delivery commensurate with the standards of a modern democratic state.
So, the Adam Smith Institute was basically tasked on negotiating with Israel on behalf
of nation building.
On nation building, on behalf of the Palestinian state.
We'll carry on with this section as well.
Cool.
Because this is the eye-opening stuff here, really. Khaled Amareya, an eminent Palestinian journalist, writes, "Palestinian mediocrity or even incompetence in negotiations with Israel is not imputed to lack of financial and human resources. The reason may well lie in corruption at the highest levels and virtual absence of accountability. The PLO Negotiations Affairs Department has at its disposal the service of the NSU, which has received tens of millions of dollars of funds, but has done very little to make Palestinian negotiators better equipped to face their Israeli counterparts. Just take a look at the document formulated jointly between Israel and the PA at the last minute at the Annapolis conference. This document, which the NSU helped formulate, was completely void of any call for ending the manifestly criminal blockades of Gaza, the removal of Israeli checkpoints and roadblocks in the West Bank, or release of Palestinian prisoners from Israeli dungeons and detention camps. Moreover, not a word was mentioned about freezing Israeli settlement expansions. The NSU is funded and effectively controlled by the Adam Smith Institute, a think tank based in London, which is vulnerable to pressure from pro-Israeli circles. For example, 2 years ago, the ASI forced the NSU to fire two highly qualified Palestinian-American lawyers, Michael Tarazi and Diana Bhutto, for going too far in defending Palestinian rights, especially during TV debates with Israeli spokesmen. According to inside sources, one of the persons who pushed for the firing of the two Palestinian-American lawyers is Glenn Robinson, the author or co-author of the controversial RAND project, The Ark, a formal structure for a Palestinian state. Eventually, Tarazi and Bhutto were accused by pro-Israeli lobbyists, including some British MPs, of hindering the development of Palestinian Ministry of Information and of not ensuring sufficient coordination with the PLO. Of course, these accusations were merely red herrings. ASI defines itself as the UK's leading innovator of practical market economic policies. The Institute's main focus is on reforming governments and state enterprises in order to promote choice, competition, and user focus. It works through research, reports, conferences, advice, and media debate. Since 1999, ASI relegated nearly $50 million to the Ramallah-based NSU, despite the fact that NSU staff and employees were sitting in their homes doing nothing, since the peace process was paralysed. A British diplomat based in Israel explained why the British government, which pays the lion's share of the NSU budget and other donors, continue to pay all these millions to the ASI and NSU. Despite the international boycott of the Palestinians from March 2006 to June 2007, we are hoping that negotiations would be resumed any time. But the main problem lies with the Palestinian Authority itself and its relations with the NSU, mostly based on cronyism and nepotism. The author sought to contact the NSU in Ramallah, but received a hostile response. One lady told me, "Why don't you go and negotiate with Israel? Maybe you could do a better job."
I think we've gone through enough here, but like, do you see?
Yes. Do you see?
Do you see?
Right. I'm going to sound a bit funny because I have to stand up. I'm a bit stuck in this chair, I must admit. But for those of you that have, thank you for tuning in to our stream this evening. If you want to support us beyond just viewing, please consider donating to us either via the Ko-Fi or subscribing to the Substack or becoming a channel member or giving us a super chat or a super sticker or yes, whatever else. If you've managed to do a PayPal or whatever, one of these things, and we've not seen it, I'm sure we'll try and get round to it next stream if we haven't already.
Yes.
I think that's probably enough for me, and people are probably sick of listening to my voice. Oh. I know I am too.
But to round out very quickly, you see the relational links here, and you see the entire sewing up of the process, and of both sides. The Israeli-Palestinian pantomime is there to suck up international attention, and it is all run on both sides by the same money. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. A little bit of a more dense stream this evening. You guys have a good one. We'll see you later.
See ya.